लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. The month of November is gone, but the verticals were still in our heads, and we have to talk about the vertical month November. So it's time for another recap. It's time for another recap with the ladies. Kind of change in the ladies today. Someone are missing, a new face in the recap. And I say hello to Caitlin from Verticate. Hello to Dahlia from Vertical Films Lover, and hello to Brittany. Welcome to my November recap, and thanks for joining me.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Morning.
Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever you are. So here in Germany today, it's the second Advent. Are you celebrating that? No.
Yes.
Do you have a... What's we have in Germany?
I don't have an advent calendar. My husband does. It's Star Wars Lego, but I actually celebrate the Catholic Advent.
Also a piece of, we have here, it's kind of round thing with four candles
the
on
of holly
it.
And, with the candles.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the advent calendar. Yeah. Or the advent wreath with the four candles and the
what's
yeah.
the name
I
in
don't,
English?
I don't light wreath? It. I don't light it here. I just leave it's, it. You know, it's at mass, obviously.
I think it's just the Advent candles, and okay. there's a candle for each week leading yeah. up to
each Sunday
Christmas.
Before
each
Christmas.
Sunday up yeah. to Christmas. Yeah,
yeah, because here in Germany, it's the Advent time is holy, holy. Every Christmas markets are open now. We have snow here. I have a lot of Christmas cookies in my house at the moment, so I'm totally in the Christmas mood. And some of the cookies. Got to LA and to Hollywood.
Nice.
Buddy Kane, for example, got his package yesterday and I had laughed so hard. It was such a shocking trip. I sent him over a package and we were watching it in the status where the package is. And it on Thursday, it was named out for delivery. And 2 hours later, it was the package will be resent to because... fail address. And I said, what? Fuck, buddy, I wrote buddy and he wasn't set. And I said, buddy, the cookies. And he said, shit, I want my cookies. And he went over after the shooting to the post office and he had such nice people on his post office. They call him on the next morning that the package got back to the post office. So he hunted over, got his package. And yesterday evening, he posted in his status a video that he had to go jogging because the Christmas cookies are too good. That's not working out. And I said, not my problem. You don't have to eat them all. And Gio Deval, I sent a package over and he told me that his trainer hates me now. So I made friends. I'm surely made friends in the US
That's
with my Christmas cookie.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's fine. I can live with that. So, ladies, how was your November month? How many verticals did you watch roundabout? And for me, more interesting, how many did you turn off and why? Who wants to start, Caitlin?
So I had been quite sick during November, so I didn't watch nearly as many as I usually do. So I averaged about 2 a day, so maybe 50, 60 or so. I did watch pretty much, I don't think I stopped anything. I always have, and People may disagree with me, but I always watch a vertical all the way through, just to give it a chance and see what the whole story is. Because I am the type of person, I feel like if I don't finish it, I don't get the whole story, and I can't properly judge it for what it is. So I always watch everything all the way through. There were some this month that challenged me in that way. There was one in particular that I really struggled to get through, and I actually have been working because I decided I needed to review it, because I think my personal opinion is we should be reviewing all verticals, good and bad. And I know that a lot of people disagree with reviewing bad verticals because they think it brings light to those verticals, and then it might bring attention or viewing. And I have a different opinion about that. I feel like if I can write a review that says, "Hey, you might not want to watch this," that it might actually prevent people from watching it. And I spoke to two of my friends about this one particular vertical that I almost didn't finish. And they said, "Well, if it was that bad, we're not going to watch it." So there's two people already that aren't going to watch it that actually were going to watch it otherwise because of the actors and actresses that were in it. So that's kind of my perspective on that sort of thing. So I did have one that I really almost didn't get through. And like I said, I'm probably a week and a half out from watching it, and I still am struggling to finish the review because it was that difficult of a vertical to watch. So
So I want to just interrupt before this. I spoke to a few actors lately and we also talked about the reviews, and they said sometimes for them it would be nice to get a feedback even if it's not so good, so that they know what the audience is really thinking. When they're only getting the good reviews, they cannot improve, they told me. So
yeah.
I like that. Or your thought also doing a review if it doesn't catch you. So I like that.
Well, and that's something I've always struggled with, because I guess I would consider myself fair. I'm not new to verticals, but I'm new, definitely newer to the review game. And I definitely don't spend as many hours writing reviews as some other people do, just because of the nature of my life. But I kind of have been always struggling with, what do I review? How do I write this? I don't want to offend any of the actors, actresses, but at the same time, I've gotten to a point now where I've seen enough verticals, and I just and been a part of all these conversations about, the vertical world and toxic verticals and all that sort of stuff. At this point, I feel like you said, it's almost a disservice not to be critical. And if you're only writing, the, 5-star or, 10 out of 10 reviews, then, how is the vertical world going to change at all? And then at that point, you're not really being honest to yourself as a reviewer if you're only doing the gloss overs. So, yeah, so I am working on that. Like I said, it's something new for me to write kind of a negative review. But at the same time, I think it needs to be done.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely. So, Brittany, welcome to the first recap episode. How many verticals did you watch, and was there vertical you didn't finish?
I did a November recap for my own page, and I watched 49, but I only wrote reviews for 12 of them, because just like Kate, there's too much. Like I'm a full-time teacher, so I do this on this. The side. But also I didn't stop watching any of them. Because I'm of the same mindset as Caitlin. Like watch it to its fullest to see what happens. See if there's a redeeming quality or something else. But also just to like it's just like film critics when they were going to movie theaters. Like they would go to a movie theater and give a very honest, critical review of what they thought of the movie. And then that way, as what's been said, actors, directors, producers, even script writers, they know what people honestly think about their scripts. And but I also watch some of the ones that I watch for certain actors because I'm an admin for an actor's fan page. And so I will watch all of her stuff to give an honest feedback to her of what I thought about her characters, or I may not have liked what her character did because she typically plays the villain, but I can at least say, I liked how you did this or how you brought these emotions up. I can love the actor, hate the role.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's very important for us as reviewers to be doing with these verticals as well, is like drawing attention to the fact that these actors are doing an incredibly hard job. They're bringing some very dynamic, sometimes very mean characters to life on the screen. And we can't hate the actors for that.
No. As I said, and sometimes simply the story is shit.
Yes.
And not a good actor can make the story good. That's it.
Yeah. Well, in this actress that I'm the admin for, she's based primarily out of China.
You can say her name.
Her name's Rachel Emma Goodwin. Okay. She did Catch Me, Love Me with Jeff Violet. Romantic Thesis of Us, Unspoken Solitude. And she's awesome. Like, I love her. She's super sweet, super kind. But she gets awful roles. And so I will watch the roles to, like, support her, but also just to give her feedback on this is what I thought about how you brought the character to life.
Yeah. Okay. And Dahlia, did you get your record in watching your monthly vertical numbers?
Is there a record?
Well, I was a bit shocked. On, I think it was a September recap when you were about 60 whatever, and I whoa.
Oh okay. Yeah. Well, I was at 56.
Okay.
I was at 56. But I did go to LA for 5 days.
Okay.
So whenever I travel,
one week is missing.
Depending on the event that I have, is whether it hinders my viewing or not. I watched 56. The only one that I didn't finish is because they didn't finish. Is there was a movie that cut off like at episode 72 and just did not give us an end, and that really upsets me. But they cut it off, not me.
Did they forgot to up? Did they forgot to upload the rest?
Oh, that was by design. They said that they wanted to get a reaction from people, and let me tell you, it got a reaction. It's Tell Me Not to Love You by Real Short.
Okay.
Tell Me Not to Love You
with Luke Dodge and Hannah Lowry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It like cut off at 72, and you're like, "Where's the rest?"
What?
You're literally left hanging.
So now that you say that, Dolly, it reminds me. There was one vertical I didn't finish. It was one of Tim Stein's on I think it was Drama TV, Top Heiress or something like that, and I didn't technically finish that one because there's a glitch in it. And when it first came out, all of Tim's fans, subscribers, whatever, we tried to watch it, but it cuts off like 10 episodes before the end. So like it says it goes
it's
to
weird,
episode
right?
55, and then at 45, you can't go any further. And then when you try to click like episode 46, it brings you back to like episode 39 or something like that. So we all emailed and contacted the support desk for Drama TV, and we got like a generic bot message that said, you know, reinstall the app and relog in. And some of us were able to finish the end and some of us weren't. And I was not. I could not, no matter what I did, reinstalled, resubscribed, it didn't matter. So that is technically one I did not finish, but that was not voluntarily. So
this was actually a record month. This was actually a record month for me when I did ratings. I had some of the highest. I almost never rate a six. And this month I had actually five, technically six films get a six.
We are speaking
so
about
I was very
that
impressed.
In a few minutes. I just want to say I watched 48 and I turned off 11.
Okay.
It was kind of, but it was the typical shit, you know what I mean? Every 2 seconds someone gets slapped and they are all screaming and they were all and one was a violation against children and stuff like that. But Shall we start with the crap of the month, or doing first the good one, or shall we start with the crap and finish with the good ones?
However you want.
My personal crap. Yeah, let's not say, yeah, it was kind of weirdo where I thought, really, do you think I'm dumb? It was the man who stands beside you. On Love Shots. Where Armand Procacci played the son.
Yep.
Of McKenna Jin.
Chase Mattson was in it,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Yeah, I know the one you're
and
talking
I
about.
Thought, really? Are you kidding me that Armand Procacci should play the son of McKenna Jin? Really? That was so.
What app was that on?
Love Shots.
It's on a few. It's on a few, Caitlin.
I saw it on Love Shots. It's so silly. It's really so silly.
The poster does not give the story any. It's very misleading. The poster.
Yeah.
Like you think it's gonna be about this, but then you start watching it, and it's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, it was totally. I was watching it. I finished it because I thought, okay, maybe it gets a good end, but it didn't. So, and as I said, Armand Procacci plays the son, and I was so, no, come on, really, really? That was so, yeah, kind of. That freaked me a bit. Not because of the super shitty storyline, but it was so unbelievable casted. Not the actors were bad. It was such a silly kind of way to cast the story together. That was for me this one. Like, no, surely could have been better. Surely.
Yeah, they could have cast somebody who actually looks like a son.
Yeah.
Or they could have posed the actors differently on the poster.
Yes, because on the poster you think that Armand Procacci is the lover of Gwen, and it was kind of total. No, that was not a good one this month. Brittany, what was your crap?
Mine?
Yeah.
But
you were thinking, what the heck?
You know what? I think mine, it's got to be the same as yours, because that, like, I originally started watching it because I've enjoyed watching Chase Mattson's work.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's got Chase in it. I like his stuff. The poster makes it look so, makes it look like it's supposed to be a love triangle story.
Yeah.
Then you start watching it, and what was interesting is I almost turned it off because it has a very similar start of a storyline to one that to several that have been done before, where like
that's
it's
the poster by the holy shit, holy that's the poster. You see like, them like, all no, half like, half naked.
Super suggestive, but like it's the start of it has a very similar storyline to what's been done before, like contract lover, he ends it, she runs away kind of thing, and then comes
pregnant,
back 18,
pregnant,
leaves
and
pregnant, comes back,
back
18 years later, and like that's not what you get from the poster at all.
Yeah.
I finished it because it's Chase and Armand, but I almost turned it off because it
it was so
started
silly.
Off so similar and silly, but it did have the storyline went in a different direction than what I was expecting it to take, which was nice, but it was in my mind it's like, please pick a different poster to use next time. Like it's bad enough that these apps are using AI to generate posters that don't even look like the actors.
Yeah, true. Caitlin, what was your crap? You said you had one which was really, who challenging to watch?
Yeah, so that one, it was challenging to watch because it had every single possible toxic type of trope or element to it. It had, you know, sexual assault, you know, rape, you know, and suicide attempts, and you know, the whole, it had everything, domestic abuse to the nine. But I will say, After I Died, he went Mad. It's on Drama Box.
Yeah.
Yes, with Kirby, right?
It's with Kirby, but I have to say my best performance this month is by Eric Brody for his role in that Vertical, because he absolutely blew it out of the water in a way that I've only seen one other time by one other actor. And I can't, he's been getting so good. The roles he's had the past couple of months have been fantastic. This one was, you know, like I said, he blew this one out of the water. His Cinderella story one was also really good. He did that really well. So, he's definitely going to be the actor of the month for me, even though I have my favorites, but this one, even though it was a toxic Vertical, blew it out of the water. And there, I even saw in conversation on one of these subscriber chats, somebody was a nurse in a psychiatric ward in a hospital. And she goes, yeah, this is all legit. Everything that he did was 100% legitimate and very, very realistic. And I think that just goes to show you how talented Eric Brody is as an actor. If he can pull it off that well, that a psychiatric nurse says, yep, he nailed it, then that speaks volumes. But another one that I was underwhelmed at and disappointed at, and it kills me to say this, is Luke's new one. I was really, really excited about it. And then when I started watching it, I was like, well, darn, this is like his other one about the movie star. And the thing that really blew it for me was the costuming. I couldn't stop laughing at the fact that, first of all, a lot of the costuming was very retro, like early 2000s, 90s vibe. And then the clothes, they did not fit specifically him at all. The pants in one scene were so big that like the belt was just like cinched super tight. The pants, the pants around where the belt was just crumpled up from being way too big. And then the pant legs themselves were so big, they looked like MC Hammer pants from the 80s, you know. It was really like so distracting. It distracted from, and I get that they were trying to make it so it's like movie star, you know, quality, but it did not turn out that way. And it was so distracting from the story that I really had a hard time not looking at that and paying attention to the story. But the story itself, I found to be just a repeat of one of a story he had already done. And in my honest opinion, the other one had better chemistry. I didn't care for the chemistry I saw in this one.
You're speaking about How to Land a Movie Star, right?
Yes. How to Land a Movie Star Through Real Short. And I just, the chemistry didn't click for me. They're both great actors, but it didn't, for me, it didn't come together. They didn't mesh as well as I would have liked. So that probably was my biggest disappointment of the month.
Okay. Dahlia, yours?
This is painful to say because I really love Nick Puglia. But The Missing Miracle Doctor with Jessica Lange,
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet either, but
frustrating. It was frustrating. It was humiliation. It was just,
agreed.
It took me a little bit to
Which
get through
platform
it.
Is it, Dahlia?
It is Flare Flow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people complaining about that one in subscriber chats where it's like, really? You could have at least made them realistic doctors.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, if you're complaining about that, then I'm not going to watch it because that's probably going to annoy the heck out of me.
Well, it's not just the realism. There's really no reason for, I mean, if you're going to be so unrealistic, I mean, they really took everything to the unrealistic
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And
Yep.
if you know what you're getting when you start watching it, then I guess you wouldn't be as not offended, but as bothered by it. But because I've seen Nick Puglia in roles like a Luna Graced, you know what I mean?
Oh,
And
yeah.
I've seen him at such elevated scripts to see him in something like this, kind of like, I mean, if I had to pick another one, I would say Punished by His Love with Nevin Tomic, which I love him as well.
Yeah.
But it still was one of those that is like, really, why the extra? You know what I mean? I just feel like some of these actors have such they're revered already. Like they've reached star status for them to take some of these roles is I understand everyone has to work. I don't fault people for taking roles. But sometimes a role is just like that little bit extra that I personally would have like backed off from it. But they were disappointing for me, maybe not for everyone else.
Yeah. We're
I don't
talking
bash
here
everyone's
about
kink.
our opinions and what we had the feeling. So Caitlin started with her actor of the month. Caitlin, what's your actress of the month?
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of good actresses this month. I think I probably would have to stay in the same boat, in the same vertical with Kirby, because that's, like I said, it. I really commend these actors and actresses that have to do the super duper toxic roles, because it's already very emotionally and physically taxing to be an actor or actress on these vertical sets in general, with these 12, 14, 16-hour days, all done 10 days in a row sort of thing. And sometimes back to back to back. So I do have to give them props to that, to playing those roles. But then when they are add a whole level of these toxic and emotional characters, it brings a whole new level of skill and energy required. And I do have to give them props to that. But as I do want to throw out there, that there was a lot of good verticals this month and a lot of bad ones. I feel like I saw a lot of divergence. But one thing I did see is I also saw some really good chemistry. And I do want to give some props while we're talking about actors and actresses. There is, I know we don't technically have a category for top chemistry of the month, but
We should.
we should think
We
about it.
should. We should. So I definitely, the best chemistry I saw this month actually was a tie. It was Tim Stein and Liv Kirby in their new one on drama TV,
Oh,
Tears
yes.
and Contracts.
Yeah.
That chemistry was off the walls chemistry. It was amazing. Absolutely loved it. And what was nice about that one is the past two ones, including Tears and Contracts, Tim has finally played a green flag, male lead instead of playing the slightly toxic, brooding, angry lead. So I was very happy to see him as a finally green flag lead. And then the chemistry between him and Liv Kirby was just off the walls. So I love that. And my second chemistry pick would be Cayman and oh, brain fart.
Which
And the cost
vertical?
of touch. Cost of touch.
Cost
Oh,
of touch.
Luna
Luna, thank you. I
Sirona.
knew it was right there. And I was like, oh, so yeah. So Cayman and Luna in Cost of Touch, and then Tim and Liv Kirby in Tears and Contracts.
Yeah.
Just absolutely amazing. So.
I wanna catch up. For me, the actress of the month is surely Kirby Elwood, because there were really great verticals with her in. It was After I Died, He Went Mad on Drama Box, then Stop Bullying His Girls, The Boxer King Returns
With
on Dreamy
JJ.
Shorts with J.J. Michaels.
Yes.
And what I watched this morning was Sweet Wild Bride of Mine on Real Short with Chris Cartuccio in it. And Kirby, she had really great verticals this month, and she really nailed every role of it. So different types, playing in this Sweet Wild Bride of Mine, first kind of childish woman, other side in After I Died, He Went Mad, this kind of totally bullied woman, and I really liked her in this different varieties of vertical stiff munch, and she was every time she nailed it so good. So my actress of the month is Kirby Elwood, and my actor of the month is, to be honest, Ryan J. Larson, because I watched three verticals of him: the Mafia's Innocent Lover on Drama Box, then the Blight Brand of the Scarlet Mafia Boss on Viglu, was my total favorite seeing him in, and also Taming of a Billionaire on Drama Box, the new one with him. I, to be honest, I hadn't him on my picture the last months, but with these three verticals I've watched, I would say he's really good mafia man, but also a good CEO man. So I loved his acting, really. He impressed me this month, I would say. And about chemistry, I didn't think about it, to be honest. So yeah, maybe we should do it.
It just, it was something that really struck me this month. So that's the only reason why I brought
no,
it up.
Good, like, but that's a good category, I think.
Good category.
Yeah. So Brittany, what was your actor and actress of the month?
So my actor of the month is actually Dan Jungma. He had a couple of really good verticals come out this month. I Leashed a CEO, which when I first started that one, I was like, what am I getting into? And then I get into it, I'm like, okay, the leashed part is like the first 5 episodes. I'm good. And then I think it's also with Kirby. Stand Up My Billionaire Husband or something like that. It's on Kalos.
Okay.
Anyways, so he had those two, and then he had a third one, I think, that was also out this month. I just can't remember the title of it. But he had, I'm just starting to recognize him as an actor, because he's just starting to get like those lead roles. And yeah, I really liked his performances in what he's done so far. And then my actress of the month was also Kirby, just because this month she's had so many verticals with so many diverse roles, but they were also challenging roles, mm-hmm. just because of what was asked of her as an actress to put on screen.
Yeah.
From humiliation all the way up to acting like a 5-year-old child, all the way to just the loving wife kind of role. Like, this month really showed her dynamic ability as an actress.
Yeah. Dahlia, your tour favorite?
Ryan Larson, for sure, actor. And Taming of a Billionaire was just amazing. But yes, the roles that he's been getting have been challenging him. They are deep. I love that he really gets into his role. I mean, he's really elevated as an actor for me, which always, I mean, I really love Ryan's stuff, but this month I feel like he really grounded himself and had some amazing roles.
Yep.
And actress of the month is Luna Saranova, for sure, hands down. The Cost of Touch and Taming Cold CEO, both, she killed it. Last month she killed it. I mean, she's been my favorite for a couple of months now. She's just fantastic. I have two chemistry of the months, and one of them is Nila and Tyler in Bound to the Rebel Wolf, which was just...
Which platform was it?
On
that
Real
one's
Short.
Real Short.
And then Cost of Touch, for sure, Cost of Touch, with Cayman and Luna also has been... I mean, that one has my vertical of the month. That one is just... It was off the chain for me. And that was on Drama Pops.
Well, in I had a chance to talk with Luna for an interview after she was done filming that one. And while they were filming that one, that was right over the Verticon weekend. So Cayman was in Atlanta filming Cost of Touch. And then on his days off on the 2 days off, he flew to LA for Verticon and then flew back to LA to fit or back to Atlanta to finish filming.
That one was challenging. The story. I mean, I did a whole deep dive review on that one. One I felt was one of those verticals that really required a little bit of psychology to it, because of the survival, you know, the survivor instinct that Luna had. And that one touched me. That was fantastic.
Yeah, true. And it was on Drama Pops, which leads me to my app of the month. For me, it's Drama Pops this month, for The Cost of the Touch. Also, The Quarterback I loved with Kiki Frex was kind of nice story. I watched and loved it. And lately dropped Till Divorce, Do Us Part with Ashley Michelle Grant and Casey Esser. Also really nice story. And I watched also on Drama Pops this month, Bad Boys Tutor for the first time. And Drama Pops never disappoints me. Also, every vertical so well produced in sound, in quality of filming, stuff like that. So for me, every show I watched on Drama Pops this month was really great in quality, in storyline, in cast, in... So I was mostly of my time on Drama Pops watching verticals. Yeah,
this same. Month. They have the highest rating of my month. They brought the production. Drama Pops for me was my app of the month as well.
Yeah, really good one. Caitlin, yours?
I actually found myself more on Drama Box this month than any other apps, but I do agree that Drama Pops and Drama TV definitely had higher quality verticals, with the exception of the technical problem on Drama TV and with the Top Heiress one from Tim. But other than that, yeah, I found myself more on Drama Box this time than I did anywhere else, unfortunately. So
I watched most on Drama Box.
A lot of Drama Box, yeah.
But as far as top app, as far as, you know, the quality of work and stuff, Drama Pop still has my... But Drama Box, I was on for 29% of my month was Drama Box.
I had the feeling that Drama Box published in November better storylines and better verticals like they did in August and September.
So that's why I kind of am saying right now Drama Box is going to be my app of the month, is not all the verticals are going to be quite like, because Drama Pops and Drama TV, every vertical they put out is almost always going to be like wow quality.
Yeah.
But they don't put out a ton. They just they do quality over quantity, I guess is the best way to put it, where Drama Box is quantity, but they're getting better at quality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what I also am noticing about Drama Box is they also are getting better at offering a wider variety, because they used to have a lot of more of the toxic tropey type verticals, but I'm starting to see a wider spread where people who want to have more sweetheart rom-com ones can find those on Drama Box. In increasing amounts. I'm not saying it's perfect yet, but there's definitely getting to be a wider variety. And I think that's what draws me to Drama Box. They're one of the three or four that I have a yearly subscription for out of the 37, 38 that I have on my phone. So that's why I like them, is because there's a wider variety and they are getting better at elevating their verticals. Yeah. Or some apps are just doing the same old, but Drama Box is trying to elevate it. Maybe not as quickly as, you know, Viglude, Drama Pops and Drama TV, but they are working on it. I can tell.
You can see that they are trying to get better. Getting better. Yes. Yeah. Which was your favorite app, Brisney?
Well, my favorite app is Drama Box, because there's variety. I can find most of my favorite actors' verticals on there. But I spent a lot of time on Kalos, just because Rachel had quite a few verticals get, like, she had like five verticals released in November alone, all on Kalos. So I spent a lot of my time on Kalos just to watch her verticals. But that's also where I found Ryan's Taming of the Billionaire and Dan's couple as well. So it was a good app for this month just for watching those actors and just different storylines. But overall, I spend more time on Drama Box because I'll rewatch some of my favorites.
Yeah, sometimes you simply need to rewatch a good story or one which you liked. True, true. As I told you, I had a recording with Michael J. Gwynn and also Tobias Pruitt a few days ago, of 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago. And mostly of them are always playing side roles. And I really liked it that Michael J. Gwynn asked me, what about side roles? Because side roles sometimes got really bad paying. We don't have to discuss that. But he's totally, or in my opinion, he's totally right when he's saying sometimes the side roles don't get enough. I don't know. What?
Recognition.
Yeah. Because sometimes they are crucial for the storyline, the side roles, but never get in the spotlight like the leads. And so he said he would love to hear more about thoughts of side roles, and that was the reason why I asked you if you can do a new category in this recap versions about who was your side role actor or actress of the month. So, who wants to start? Yeah, Dalia.
So,
I
Dahlia.
have four. I have four
That's
that I want to
fine.
recognize.
That's fine.
For Game of Choice, Ben O'Shea and Charlie Wood, for sure, for sure. I think that Ben O'Shea took it to the next level. To actually, he should get leads like this. And Charlie, I've always felt like he needs some lead roles because he's a really good everyman. And I think that he just needs that one breakaway piece to really elevate him. And then Alicia Loveread and Gavin LeClaire for, I have it here, sorry. I don't want to butcher it. This time I chose Mr. Mafia
Which
with Frankie
platform was it?
Camarada. That is Good Short.
Okay.
And as parents, they just really filled that. They were green flag parents. They were super supportive. And I love when you can pick out supporting actors that elevate themselves in the film, that you can actually see them beyond just the leads. And if I could pick just one more, is Jolene Anderson in the one with Kayla and Chris as the mom for To My Romeo With Love on Real Short.
Oh
That
yeah.
she, as a mom with a child with cancer, she killed it. Killed it, killed it, killed it. I think that the supporting roles, there were a lot of very strong supporting roles this month and every month. But I mean, it was pretty awesome, pretty epic.
Caitlin, yours?
I feel like a lot of times Dolly and I are on the same wavelength because I when you posed that question, I was looking back through, I was like, okay, who blew me away? And without going to somebody who's typically a lead role who would happen to be in a supporting role, I actually do agree with her, Ryan O'Shea, in Game of Choice. I mean, the whole cast in Game of Choice, I mean, was just absolutely
Yeah, we
stunning.
spoke last month
But
about it, yeah, already.
But I'm drawn to go back to that one. And I know we're trying to bring light to other people, but if we're thinking of supporting roles, I also have to commend Kiki on his supporting role in Tim and Liv Kirby's Tears and Contracts, because that was another difficult role to play. But yeah, it's definitely a new category that I definitely noticed supporting roles, but I hadn't, like you said, written down, take note of whatever. And I do mention them in my reviews, but it wasn't something that, is always on the forefront of my head. So I'm really glad we're doing this. And definitely this upcoming month, I'll pay closer
More
attention to writing
attention.
down names.
Yeah,
Yeah.
true. I just wanna get in. I have two support side role actors. For me, I was very happy to see Teek Sedana back in a vertical through Ashes, their sorrow awareness on Drama Box, that he's back after his visa stuff, where he was, I think, 6 or 7 months out for shooting verticals. So on Drama Box through Ashes, their sorrow awareness dropped lately with him in a side role, and he's so elegant as ever with a white suit and so supportive one and lovely caring ones. I was so happy to see him back on vertical screen with a type of role I really love to see on him, this supportive and begging man. And the second one goes to Sir Danny Farber this month for me, because I love his comedy style. For example, in Till Divorce Do Us Part, when he ran in the first scene, he had so a silly, crazy hairstyle, and he ran in, had only one sentence, and said, "No, he didn't divorce you." And he was wearing a suit and so silly with the glasses and so cold his hair. But on the other side, in Bad Boys Tutor, he played the dean, so serious and so good. I loved him to see as a dean in a kind of more serious role, but also supporting role. And when you know that he's also directing the shows, so for me, I think it's sometimes really hard to do both really well. So for me, he was also the side role actor of the month, because I love seeing Danny also as an actor in front of the camera, but I really love his work also as director. And as I said, the Drama Pop shows he did, always good quality. So it fits every totally perfect in one. So, Brittany, who side a role did your attention get your attention?
I don't know if she's been in anything else because the name was new to me, but Alex Rolston as Claire in Taming of the Billionaire with Ryan.
I haven't seen
I
her
really,
before.
so she, I think she did phenomenal because her, not only did her, like her character was not your typical, it was not your typical villain role of the jealous sister, stepsister. Like she actually developed a moral compass and started making her own decisions, and her character arc was phenomenal. And so how Alex played that was just amazing to see. So I hope we see her more in more verticals, because she just played that part so well. But then I also personally love seeing Dorothy Manneen in supporting roles. She has done everything from the villainous ex-girlfriend, ex-wife to a complete supporting best friend. Like when I saw her as a supporting best friend, I was like, you did something good,
Nice.
character like?
You can be
What?
nice. What?
You can be nice? That would surprise me. Like I think it was Tim Stein's it was the what his mute wife one where
Yes.
17 Heartbreaks or something like that.
Yes.
She played the lead character. I think it was Liv. Was that Liv Kirby? Was that Liv in that one as well? Or was
Wasn't
that
that
somebody
Mariah?
else?
Wasn't that Mariah Boone?
No.
Oh,
That was
Mariah
Mariah
Boone.
Boone.
Yes.
Yeah,
Okay.
that was
So
Mariah Boone.
she plays Mariah Boone's best friend in that
Yeah.
one and is the supportive best friend and is gentle and loving and encouraging. And I'm like, can we see more of this from you? Like, you
Thanks,
are
too.
the villain.
I would die to see her as a lead. I've been dying. I
Right?
just I and I don't know if she, 'cause some actors and actresses like the supporting roles over leads. And so I don't know if that's her case, but I am dying to see her as a female lead
I'd
because I
like to
think she
see
would blow it out of the water.
I would love to see her in just one. Like if she were to do just one, that would be phenomenal.
It's the same like with
Because
Sarah Smolinski always. She always got the supporting role and then she got the lead one and she totally nailed the lead one.
That was
Yeah.
the bo was that the Governor
Yeah.
Boxer one with
Yeah.
Ty?
With
Well,
Tyler
yeah,
Shearer.
Tyler
she
Scherer.
also had, but she also had the twin one with Aaron Orberst on Real Short, and I'm forgetting the name right now,
I
but she
haven't
was
seen that
leading.
one. I don't think I've seen that one
She
yet.
was leading that one.
Okay.
She did really well in that one too, because like I said, she played twins, so she had to do kind of like a, good cop,
Okay.
good bad cop sort of thing going on
Nice.
there, and that was definitely interesting, and I liked that. So,
Okay.
so yeah, it's a
If
for
you
her,
remember
it's
the name
always
of
the
that one,
same.
Kate, send it to me because I don't remember it.
Absolutely. It was on Real Short. It was in the last month. It was with Aaron Orberst. I can't remember it off the
That's
top of my
okay.
head, unfortunately.
If you remember it, send it to me because that one sounds interesting. And I've got a Real Short subscription for a short amount of
Oh,
time.
here it is. I'm looking it up now. It says her double, his trouble.
Oh, okay.
Her double is trouble. What title?
Such an interesting title.
I haven't seen it yet, but I also have actually a Real Short weekly subscription, so maybe I
Yeah,
should watch that also.
I'm trying to get my Real Short shows in while I have my subscription before it disappears at the end of the month.
Yeah. That one was good. That was interesting. Not only see Sarah in a lead role, but Aaron Orberst played a total asshole, a total jerk.
I have the
So,
feeling that he mostly plays assholes or really bad profs or stuff like that. Was there ever a role where Aaron Orbus was really nice?
Oh
Yes.
yes,
No,
yeah.
I think
He did
Daddy
one place.
December.
It was
What?
called. Well, he did Daddy December on Real Short, but then he also did Carrying His Baby, Stealing His Heart with Kaylin Peluso.
Yeah.
That was one of
Okay.
his first roles,
No,
and
because
he
mostly
definitely
of
did
roles of
really
Aaron
great.
Orbust, I know him as some.
I don't
Or
think
was,
that
oh
was
no, that was
him.
That
Pat Palkins. Sorry, that was Pat
was
Palkins.
Pat
Sorry.
Hawkins. Yeah, that's a Pat movie.
Sorry.
No, I mean, it definitely Aaron definitely does the a lot of
The
the sultry
spicy,
professory ones. Yeah.
or
He
the
does.
big bossy type ones.
But this one he plays what I would consider a truly sinister and evil character, as opposed to just a morally defunct character, you know. So
Pucked and Pregnant, he was a green flag. Pucked and Pregnant
Oh,
on
that's right. He did that with Rebecca Staunton.
with Rebecca
Yes,
Staunton
he
at
did.
Real Short.
Yep,
Feeling the Burn on Candy Jar TV.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't
Feeling
seen that one.
the Burn? Is that a new
Yeah,
one? It's a
yes.
workout one. No, it's old. It's an old one
No.
actually.
Oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
I do remember watching that one. Yes.
Haven't I
Yep,
seen it?
I
that
watched it
was.
when it was Galatea, as opposed to Candy Jar.
Oh! Yeah, me too.
Okay, so
Me too, yep.
maybe I've seen this one, but
But
no,
yeah, he's
because
had a few.
lately every time Aaron Oberst you see it. Okay, I'm to be honest, I'm still hoping. I saw on what's her name, Sheena, whatever storyline this day that she's shooting actually in Lithuania with Aaron Oberst. So hopefully,
Oh, yes, I've been seeing
yeah,
some
Sheena
BTS of
Snow,
that.
you know. So I
Yana
saw
Sinu.
in her story that they are actually in Lithuania both and shooting a new one together. And today there was a BTS together in a wedding dress, so maybe he's a nice one in that.
I think that's Shanna Sinu, right?
Yeah, Shanna.
Yep.
I cannot. Every time I have problem with her names. No, because she rescheduled our episode recording because she had to go
Oh,
shortly
she.
to Lithuania.
Oh, there
So
you go.
that's why I know that she's shooting there actually with Aaron Oberst. But the BTS I saw so far looks nice, so maybe he can also be a nice one. Who
Hey,
knows?
all I gotta say is that he has improved so much. If you, I mean, he was the first one to bring me into verticals, but the work from back then, so Daddy December, Pucked and Pregnant, you watch those, and then you watch some of his newest ones, the Yes Chef and Office Girl. I mean, wildly different, vastly improved in his acting. I mean, has just come so far. So I definitely have to give him props for that because
I wanted to love Office Girl. So many people loved it, and I just, I
so I
didn't.
liked it, but I actually preferred his movie Yes Chef over Office Girl. I felt it was way better. Don't get me wrong, it's an adult version of Ratatouille, but
Watch it.
it
Hey,
is
now I have to
really
watch
good.
it. I
Yeah,
haven't
yes.
watched either one, so
I
yeah.
want to watch it, but the female lead, I don't know why I cannot watch her for long because she always is doing so different things with her mouth while speaking. For me, it's
I
hard
guess I
to
didn't
listen
notice
to
that.
her. For me, it's
Oh,
she's always
I'm
doing she's always doing stuff like that with her lips, and that makes it so hard to watch. I don't know why.
Oh, I guess I didn't really notice that, but my top favorite right now for Aaron is Yes Chef. Like I've watched it a bazillion times over. I love it. Absolutely love it. So
I
I just
love
haven't
it
had a
too,
chance to
but
I
she's
just
a
haven't
bit
had a chance
of
to watch him.
what did you call it? She's a bit challenging to watch for me.
Right?
So, Dahlia, you said you had how many with 6-star ratings this month?
Five.
Five. Let us know which five verticals hit your 6-star rating this month.
Bound to the Rebel Wolf. I think it's a unique werewolf story, and it had two amazing leads, and I love their chemistry. That's on Real Short. Taming of a Billionaire on Drama Box with Ryan Larson and Manny Morelli. Heartstrings and Lies on Drama Shorts. If you haven't seen it, it is a different story. It has to do with undercover work. Kristen Brancaccio was fantastic as a director. It had family strife. It had undercover stuff. It had two fresh actors, Kellan Irlanda and Katie Lezinski, in the lead roles. Corbin Timbrook and Evan Camacho and Monique Perrin are the supporting actors. So people that have a lot of experience were able to help
The younger
cement
ones.
that role together. I really just, it was one of those that you, when you want something fresh, Heartstrings and Lies is fresh. It's one of those that
Okay.
you don't know the story. It was written by Kristen Brancaccio as well. So it was written, directed, and produced by Kristen Brancaccio.
Okay.
And she's just fantastic too. Taming of a Billionaire, Cost of Touch, which was my vertical of the month. That one's just, I can't say enough about it. Alan Ball was amazing as a director. And To My Romeo with Love with Kayla and Chris was one of those that just
Oh
it
yeah.
slays you, but in such a best way. Allison Eve Hammersley was fantastic director with that. They took the story and really did justice by the subject matter, I think. It touched me in a lot of ways. I have had friends of mine that have lost their children to cancer, so it, there's no spoiler in it. Everyone knows, the storyline. The trailer is very clear about what it is. The way that the actors and everyone touched on that story, I think was it's very special. It actually would have gotten more than a six for me if six wasn't my top.
What was the title again? Sorry.
To My Romeo with Love.
To My Romeo with Love. Okay. So that's your vertical
Unreal
of the
short.
month.
Yeah, vertical, right. That one really stands on its own. The Cost of Touch still gets my vertical of the month because of it also dealt with a very hard storyline. They both did, but To My Romeo with Love stands different. I mean, that one may be my vertical of the year, honestly, because of the subject matter and how they touched on it.
Great. Brittany, yours, what was your favorite of the month?
My favorite of the month, it's got to be Taming of a Billionaire with Ryan. I normally don't do mafia. Like, that is not my go-to genre. But when I don't know what it, I think it's because there wasn't like mafia in the title, which kind of drew me in. So then I didn't really feel like it was like mafia was the focus.
Yeah.
But Ryan's performance in it was just amazing. Like when I did my review, I literally started my whole review with the fuck the rules. It was Ryan's line. I was like, it wasn't just.
My review has it too. I put fuck the rules. Yeah.
Like, done. I was like, that was the line that really hooked me into the story. Up until then, I was like, okay, this is your typical billionaire arranged marriage, whatever. But then he says that line, and I'm like, okay, hook, line, and sinker.
Well, it's straight out of 50 Shades. It's straight out of 50 Shades, and that's part of what hooked every single person that ever watched or read the books was fuck the rules.
And I never did either. I never read 50 Shades, and I never watched the movies. So for me, what I think it was just how Ryan said it.
Yeah.
And like his posture, his facial expression, like everything about how he said it is what hooked me in.
Spot on.
So your vertical of the month, Caitlin?
Oh, this was a tough month because like Dahlia said, there were so many great verticals that came out this month. I too loved The Cost of Touch. But I have to be honest, Tim's last two really, really nailed it for me. And I guess I'm probably a little biased because I've always really liked Tim's work. But the Tears and Contracts, but also Undress a Billionaire by Shorticle. That was fantastic. I'm writing a review for that one as well. That one for me, the cinematography in that one was amazing. Some of the shots that they decided to do and the artistry they did with those shots was actually really cool. So I really liked those. And I do have to echo what Dahlia said about To My Romeo with Love. That just, it really did shred me too. And it was, what was nice about that one is it was so grounded and realistic in true life. It wasn't, a lot of these verticals, obviously we use them for escapism. So a lot of them have these elements that are just so wild and out there. And it was just so refreshing to have something that was so true to life and grounded, and yet done in such a respectful and beautiful way. It really
and still
was,
had, and still had its tropiness. I mean, it still had its thing.
It did.
There was, you know, some bullying. There was some mean girl stuff.
Yep.
But and you wouldn't normally expect it from something so touching. But it still had the elements of, which is a part, another reason why it's such an elevated piece. It's because it managed to have a serious subject matter and threw in the tropiness, so the vertical lovers can still appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have to watch this today because I haven't seen it yet.
Have tissues nearby. Have tissues nearby.
I was just going to say, have tissues nearby. Like, it's not my vertical of the month, but I did really enjoy the originality of it. Mm-hmm. And how, like, as you two have said, like, I appreciated how they kept it real. They didn't try to romanticize it. They didn't try to have like this miraculous cure at the end where it's like, oh, look, she's healed. They can live happily ever after. No, there was the realistic aspect of it where it's like, this is
it's
real
happening.
Life.
It's happening.
It happens. Yeah. Like this is real life for a lot of families, a lot of teenagers, a lot of parents. And I appreciated how they handled it.
Yes.
They handled it with sensitivity and gentleness while keeping it real.
And keeping it vertical. That's the next part of it really I appreciate. You know, you can find a film that does all of that, but kind of goes away from the vertical tropes. The magic of this piece is that they actually kept it vertical. I mean, you know, they kept to the things that fans love. So well, while it may not be the happily ever after, it still is entrenched in what is truly vertical.
Yes. And there is another vertical that I watched that has a very similar similar type of storyline where they keep it real, but they also keep it vertical. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's with Jennings Brower. I think it's called Dr. Norman, Please Love Me or something like
I saw
that.
this one.
Yeah, so very
With Morgan,
similar.
what was her name? Morgan.
I
What
can't
is her
remember
name?
her name, but
Morgan.
it,
I don't know her second name. It's Morgan.
yeah, Morgan something.
It
But
was a
what I
net
appre-
short, was it?
yeah, it was a net short one.
Yes.
And again, very similar style of storyline where they keep it real, but they also kept it vertical. Like they
Yeah.
threw in just enough tropes to keep the vertical fans happy while keeping the realistic fight believable.
For me, my vertical, what I really appreciate was the Wiglu one of Ryan Larson, the blind bride to the scared mafia boss. I really like this one because, as you said, Brittany, with the other one, it was not so typical the mafia, the dark mafia, let's say the dark mafia style. It was a kind of mafia genre, but not so bloody and violent as sometimes the mafias are, with always shooting and always stuff like that. And also, we spoke in the last recaps about treating the theme of blindness in a vertical. In this one, although she needs to pretend to be blind, she did that really well and not so overacted. And I haven't seen a lot of verticals of this female lead in that, so she was kind of new to me. But in this combination with Ryan Larson, I really liked her, and it was really smooth to watch, and the storyline was really great, and I really love the acting of Ryan Larson in this one. Since I watched a few verticals of him in this month, this one was the best acting from him for me in his verticals so far. And I'm really looking forward to see kind of more storylines like that. Not always the first 10 episodes so overloaded with the typical tropes in the vertical, so that it's going smoothly straight to the story and it's entertaining, but also kind of vertical like with the troops, but not so overloaded with the troops. And I really like that. For me, it was a
That
really
was
good one.
Emma Almeida. Emma
Okay.
Almeida is the female actress
But
that was on the Blind
she's
Bride of
kind
the
of
Scarred Mafia
new.
Boss. She is very new. That's her first vertical.
Because I
That was her
really
first
liked her
vertical.
acting. It was good.
Very much so.
And she fit very well with Ryan Larson in it. I
And I
really
agree. It's
liked
like
it.
she handled the blind aspect very well. But I don't it's that in itself is a challenging aspect to act for actors if you're not actually blind. So acting blind is tricky to not overact.
Yeah, but we spoke in the last two recaps about it. Samantha Drews nailed both role where she has, no, the one where she has to act blind and the other one where she was mute. Samantha Drews act
Samantha,
always
yeah.
really great disabled person for me. So, ladies, we are nearly at the end, but it's December and it's Christmas time. So I saw there will drop a lot of Christmas verticals in the next days and weeks. Did you saw a trailer or stuff like that of any specific Christmas vertical, or did you saw some Christmas verticals already dropped? Did you saw one on which you are really excited about?
I haven't had a chance to watch any of the trailers yet, but the one that I'm excited to do my 25 days of Christmas countdown on is I'm think it's called, got my list here for a second, hold on. Operation Christmas Trap on Real Short,
I
because
was just gonna talk about
it's
that one.
common it's a combination of Vertical meets Parent Trap at Christmas. It can't get better than that.
When did it break?
I
watched
actually
it.
heard really, really mixed reviews on that one.
Well, that's why,
Yeah,
like,
so
I'm excited to see it because, like,
same,
I'm
same.
25 days of Christmas countdown for
Didn't it
my
drop
review.
today?
It's
No,
already
it's been out.
dropped. I think it dropped last week or
Yes. Yep.
earlier
So
this week.
I watched it when it came out. It is very parent trappy. I loved it up until towards the end.
Okay.
So I will give a fair warning that there is a section of the vertical, and I have to say section because it crosses multiple episodes,
Okay.
that there is abuse towards both of the girls, and it's pretty significant.
Okay.
So I think that's why there's mixed reviews out there, is because it does cross that no-no line that so many viewers have said before, that that's one of their top things that they don't like to see in verticals, is abuse towards children. And unfortunately, they cross it in a fairly big way.
Okay.
But the rest of the story is completely adorable and very much like you said, a Christmas version of the Parent Trap that I kind of grew up with, what is it, Lindsay Lohan's one. And
Lohan.
so it reminded me very much of that, just in vertical Christmas style. So I loved it up until you get to
Those,
that part.
yeah.
So I would still call it a decent vertical. I just wish that they could have taken that part out. And honestly, the story would have been fine without it, which makes it even more frustrating when they add it in when there's no real point to it and it doesn't do anything for the story. It's just that pure shock factor, unfortunately. And it comes late in the vertical too, which makes it even more puzzling for me, because usually if they want that shock factor, it's to draw people in and make them go past the paywall. But this is towards the end, and I don't understand why. But other than that, I liked it, so.
Well, thank you for the heads up because that one's coming up on my 25-day countdown. So, but there's a lot coming out on Drama Box. I
Yeah,
think
I
there's
saw
like
that.
five. I think there's five coming out on Drama Box
Drama
next.
Box has,
Like,
Drama Wave has. There's
Drama
a lot
Wave's
that are
got a
coming out.
ton of them coming
Drama
out.
Box has
I don't have Drama Wave.
six upcoming Christmas verticals in the next 10 days.
Yeah. And
So,
they're all on my list.
yeah, I have the feeling that this year there are a lot of more Christmas verticals like last year. But to be honest, the first Christmas vertical I watched this year again was the one with Cayman. Santa, please bring me a billionaire
Yes, Santa
husband.
Send Me a
That's I
Billionaire.
love this one. I love this one. It
Oh.
never gets boring. Watch that.
And what I love about that one is that the Cayman's mother, Isaiah, in that one, is the ultimate green flag mother-in-law. Like, she doesn't try to do anything. Like, if anything, she is super supportive. And that's what I love about her character is she doesn't try to do anything to break up
And
the
when
two
we speak
characters.
about chemistry between the leads, I love the chemistry in this one.
Oh, Cayman
Really.
in Georgia.
Yeah, stuff like when they are, or the scene when they are sitting in the both in the Christmas pajamas, and oh, I
Oh,
love that
yes.
one. It's so sweet. It's so
So super
sweet.
cute. I love it.
You know,
Yeah.
imagination, Cayman, he's really tall, the really tall boy man sitting in a Christmas pajama and celebrating Christmas and stuff like that. I really love this one. And I don't know how often I watched it, but that was the first Christmas vertical for this year I rewatched, because I really love the storyline. No violence, no abusing. It's such a nice Christmas storyline, because my fear is that some of the Christmas vertical which will drop are a typical vertical storyline we saw in the last weeks, but only with the Christmas tree standing in the living room, or maybe some Christmas decoration in the room. You know what I mean? Not with the typical Christmas storyline. It's only type of Christmas costume on the vertical, and we will
That's what I've
see.
noticed. That's what I've definitely noticed with my, like, in doing my reviews and stuff. That is the only difference between that vertical and another one, is they've just thrown the word Christmas into the title and
Yeah.
thrown Christmas tree and Christmas decorations. Like, there is nothing Christmassy about it. It's set at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that's where the strength of Hallmark verticals try to be a little bit of that, and really in just taking the word Christmas and adding some Christmas decorations, where I think that there's a little bit of a disconnect. Because Hallmark is, you know, Hallmark Lifetime are still very into the tradition of Christmas and what brings them to Christmas, and it's all about Christmas. Where verticals are trying to tell that vertical story and throw a Santa hat on someone.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. I think, or I hope that there will be at least some verticals with kind of Christmas story also.
And less
If you
humiliation ones, because last
it
year there was a ton.
yes.
Oh, yeah.
It there is a Christmas, it's called All I Want for Christmas is a Husband with Casey Esser.
That one's
And
awesome.
that one's a good
That's
one
on
for,
Drama Pops also. Is it with Emily Gately?
yes, Emily Gately's in it. Yeah. So what I
That's
liked about that one is they actually bring in the Christmas aspect of what is Christmas
Yes,
and
trying to make her
a
believe.
holiday
He's
season.
trying to
He's
get her
trying
to
to make her
accept the season.
believe
Yeah.
in
That
Christmas
was a
again.
sweet storyline. That was really
Very
sweet
sweet. I
storyline.
loved it. So for a classic Christmas, like for a Christmas vertical, that one so far is within my top five.
Yeah,
That was
together
very
with the
sweet.
one from Cayman. Yeah, truly,
And yeah,
truly.
Cayman and that one are my top five for Christmas verticals, because they actually deal with the season of Christmas and what does Christmas mean.
Yeah. Caitlin, do you have any advice for a Christmas vertical yet?
They hit the ones that I was gonna hit. I mean, I think we would get a riot if we didn't talk about Seth and Nicole's Christmas Billionaire one.
Oh yes.
It
Santa, bring
I
me
do think,
what was it? Santa, give me a billionaire,
nope,
a
homeless, no, found
homeless
a homeless billionaire for billionaire
Christmas.
Yeah,
Christmas, yeah.
I know there
Thank
was
you.
someone, a billionaire in it.
Yeah. They put homeless
Yeah,
and billionaire together.
but I feel like, and it goes back to what Dahlia said, is I almost feel like that one's just a vertical story dressed up as Christmas. I mean, I get why it's popular because everybody loves Seth and Nicole, but I really would revert to, especially the one with Cayman, is one of my favorites, definitely for Christmas. I do like I said, I do like the Parent Trap one, especially if someone could just delete that one chunk of scenes. But I am actually more excited because, like you guys said before, the amount of Christmas verticals out there in previous years, what's out there currently is very minimal. And then it looks like this year we're going to be plastered with it in the next
They're
couple
still
weeks. And
shooting Christmas verticals.
there's one still shooting, yeah.
Fabian
Yeah.
Arnold, for example, had in his story yesterday that he's shooting a Christmas vertical right now, and I'm wondering, when will that be released when they are still shooting? I mean, it's the
There
7th
are
of December.
some they turn around within a week. They
I was
really
just going to
do.
say, like, I know, so I know J.J. Michaels just finished filming a Christmas vertical. I
Didn't
know,
Jackson
yeah.
just film one too? Which
Jackson
one,
did
sorry?
one with Gracie Swanson, but
Jackson
that's
filmed,
already published.
that one's on Taste
Oh,
Life,
that's
and
the
it's
Taste
30 Days to
TV.
Love.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has
Yeah.
anybody
So,
seen that one? Because I have not seen that one yet.
No,
have
not
not
yet.
seen it, but it is on my list. Okay. I was
Yeah.
just wondering if it was any good.
No, it's a good question. That is a good question because
Well,
I haven't seen
because
it.
it's not an app that I have, and I'm
Exactly.
getting to
That's
the
my
point.
problem too. I'm
That's my
not sure
problem.
if it's worth to purchase anything on this platform to watch it or not.
Which one is it on
Well,
again?
not
Taste
it's on
Life,
Taste
Dahlia.
TV.
Oh.
Yeah.
There
Yep. It's one of those.
There it is, the platform problem again. Every time new platforms pops out. Shit.
Well, that's the thing is not only is it the time of year where we're all pinching pennies, sort of thing, but also my phone is actually running out of storage from all the apps. And I don't want to delete any because I go back and I watch some, you know, but at the same time, I can't keep adding more and more apps just to watch one or two verticals. It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's where the old Daily Motion comes up.
I was just going to mention that, Dahlia. That's when I wait for it to come out on Daily Motion and I watch Daily Motion.
You
Yeah,
know what?
there's
And
no other way.
I've spoken to a ton of actors about it. I've spoken to directors and producers about it. And sometimes the app game is so ridiculous that you have no other choice.
Yeah,
Right.
You really have no other choice.
Well, and it's not like, from what I understand, it's not like these actors are getting paid royalties for
No,
every view
not
that happens.
yet.
Show, not yet. So watching a show on the app doesn't necessarily do anything for the actor anyways,
Right.
because they've already been paid to do
Yeah,
the
right.
show.
Yeah,
So
yeah, yeah.
watching it on Daily Motion isn't hurting the actor any. It's hurting the app because we're not paying for it. But I think ultimately the actors don't really care. Like, as long as you're rating and reviewing on like IMDb and stuff like that, they really don't care. Like,
Some
Cayman
of
could.
them watch their own on Daily Motion.
Yeah,
It's
and
true.
some of them are cutting out of the Daily Motion for their reels they are doing on their
And
vertical
it's
on their
mostly, and
Instagram
it's
profile.
sad because they can't even, like, they ask for their own performances, and they can't even get
Film material.
the footage for their own performance.
True.
So of course they're going to Daily Motion. They're not going to pay for it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I think it was the last recap for this year. Thanks a lot for your opinions and keep watching. We will talk again in the new year about the verticals that happens in December. Maybe we get some nice Christmas presents verticals. We don't expect yet, but they are blowing us away. You know, the hope never dies. So
Never. Nope.
thank you very much. I wish you lovely, lovely holidays. I wish all the audience lovely holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry
A lot of
Christmas.
snow.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, don't
In
worry.
Miami.
I'm in Canada. I'll get like 5 feet of snow.
All of you will get
Right.
snow except for me.
Except Dahlia.
But I'm going up to snow. I'm actually leaving for Milwaukee, Wisconsin next week. So I'll be
Oh,
there
fun.
for a
Wow.
week and I'm almost guaranteed snow.
There
So
you go.
you.
Snow cold.
Thanks a lot. I wish you a lovely day and see you next year again. Bye,
All right.
ladies. Bye,
Bye.
everyone.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.